Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
One alive, one dead, one fictional. It's up to you who you choose, you pick them all. It's up to you who you choose, you pick them all. Who you having? Make it who you wish. This is your dinner party, and it's your guest list.
Hello, and welcome to episode 14 of Guest List with Jake Lambert, the podcast where I interview comedians to find out who would be their perfect dinner party guests. But they can only pick three. One has to be alive, one has to be dead, and one has to be fictional. This week, we are joined by the very funny Julian Dean. Before we get on with that, I do have to say, you've probably heard at the start of the podcast now, there's a thing that says, if you love this podcast, you can make a donation. A few people have, so I would like to take this opportunity to thank people who have done that. So far, I'd like to say thank you to Emily, Danielle, Oliver, Priya, Anna, Simon, and Sophia. You really didn't have to, but it's very lovely that you did. And if anybody else would like to make a donation, feel free. Otherwise, please just enjoy the podcast. If you can share it, that does make a huge difference. Because we've sort of recently actually, in the last couple of episodes, sort of popped off. Is that the right phrase? But it's sort of spiked in America. So hello to the American listeners. I'm going to try and maybe get some American acts on for you to sort of repay you. But thanks for listening and hello. And so this episode is with Julian Dean. It's very funny. Julian's very funny. You can check him out on YouTube. He's done, I'm not sure if it's Russell Howard Good News or the Russell Howard Hour, but it's on YouTube. Check him out. He's very funny. His choices are very interesting. The first one, very obvious. We sort of discuss it's an obvious choice, but obvious for a reason. And then the others are sort of very interesting, and I certainly didn't expect it. But it's a great episode. And so for now, please enjoy my conversation with Julian Dean. What are you eating there?
Just a last bit of a sandwich, sorry. That was so unprofessional. I thought I could sneak it in my mouth. And forgot that my face is fully on screen.
Are you and Carl still doing your one while he's in Australia?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all right. Yeah, so that sounds that I've not been listening, but I just mean, you know, you can't keep up with every podcast.
It's a bit insulting. Are you still doing
So you're still a comedian?
Have you ever had that said to you, like, by someone? I think they're digging. I think they're trying to play mind games before you go on. They're like, I thought you quit, someone said it to you. You know, one of these older guys that would try and get in your head a bit before you're going on. Like, I thought you quit. No, I'm sorry. And they'd make a big deal about, oh, sorry. Why is that even offensive if they'd heard I quit?
Yeah. Just be like, yeah, I thought the last performance I did was unfollowable.
Yeah, exactly. I
wanted always to go out on a high.
Exactly. And then go on and die.
Now I quit. From stage, turn to him 10 minutes in.
I want to hand in my resignation 5 minutes in. Someone throws you a P45.
Yeah, how do you even quit stand-up? I don't know how you'd even quit.
Yeah.
You can't officially quit. What do you do? No.
You can't quit. You have to keep doing it forever on the treadmill. I do love it now. I do. I am missing it. Are you?
Yeah, a lot, actually. I keep saying this on the podcast. I've been watching all, like, stand-up documentaries, watching stand-up, listening to all, like, podcast interviews or classic interviews. I'm, like, become a fan again.
Nice.
So when I go back, I'll have, like, that same
if there's any of my jokes that you want me to break down or say, you know, when you're watching it, if, like, there's anything you want me to say where I wrote it and how did I come up with that? How did you get... You know what I mean?
Yeah, how did you get from that thought to that sort of notes on your phone to, you know, to sort of like mass walkout? How did you take such a funny idea and completely ruin it?
Just drain the funny out of it and leave the funny in, leave all the funny in the writing room. It's funny when comics do that, though, isn't it? Like they'll get an idea and you think, that could have been funny.
I mean, and then we sound like the guy who told you to quit. They come out and go, keep working on that idea, you'll get there.
And they're like, I've been doing it for 7 years, it's my banker.
What's started to happen, Julian? I keep hearing me come back through yours. Why is that happening?
Oh, no. You know what? Like, I haven't got a headphones.
Oh, right. Yeah, I think that's what's happening, isn't it? I can then hear... Zoom must be picking
up. I've got three headphones and all of them aren't working. Like, I've got a Bluetooth pair and when I connect it, and I ordered a new wire and it's not working, so I just need to buy new headphones.
Yeah, yeah, I reckon that's the one, yeah. But it's all right, I think.
Is it all right for you, though? Because that's so distracting to me when that happens.
Well, the good thing is what I say is often so interesting that now I get to hear it back.
Oh, that's good. You can learn at the same time from yourself.
So while you're replying, I'm sort of listening to what I said.
And you're going, good point. And I think you're on about me. That's a nice, that's a lovely kitchen you got there. Nice and lit, man. I like it. Which area is it? Which area of London?
Oh, I was about to say, well, there's the living room. So it's sort of just next to that.
Oh, which area of the house is the kitchen in?
I'm Battersea, just by Battersea Park.
Oh, nice. That's a nice area.
Yeah, where are you?
I'm in Blackheath.
Oh, are you?
Just up from Greenwich, yeah. Blackheath.
Yeah, Village. Yeah. I've done Blackheath Halls.
Just right near there, like I'm about 5 minutes into the village from there.
Oh, it's lovely. It's a nice area.
Yeah, it's a lovely area. Yeah, hence why it's so small.
Have you done that venue, Blackheath Halls?
Not stand up. No, when I used to be in a band, we did New Year's Eve there years ago.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know you were in a band.
Yeah, I was in a band for about 3 or 4 years. Like we didn't know how to play instruments and we all learnt at the same time. We all bought guitars and just learnt from zero. So it was a fun time, yeah.
And you got to the point where you were playing Blackheath Hall on New Year's Eve?
Yeah. Our drummer was a drummer. That was the only one, though.
Right.
And there was like, I mean, I played rhythm guitar. We had a lead because I couldn't really do rhythm and lead. So I'd do the rhythm. Someone would do the lead and a bassist and a singer and a drummer.
Bloody hell. When do you stop that? I heard you quit.
No, we're still going, man. We stopped that. That was like 1999. I stopped.
Oh, right. Yeah, I didn't want to go into the millennium.
Nah, we wanted to quit while we were behind.
When did you start stand-up?
My first ever gig was December 2005. But I'd say a couple of years after that, I started.
Oh, right. Yeah, it went that badly.
No, it went. The first gig, my 13th gig, just weirdly, I bombed.
And oh, really?
It was so shocked my whole nervous system. Like, I had a day off work the next day. I remember thinking, like, my first few gigs, they were just going all right. And, like, I was thinking, when people talk about dying, why don't they just say something funny? Just say something. If they say something funny, people will laugh. And, like, and then I remember watching Andrew Maxwell. He had this energy about him, didn't he? Like when he'd walk towards the stage, he began clapping, getting them going. And
yeah,
he had this energy. I thought, I'm going to try a bit of that. Like and I was walking it through the tables to the stage and I'm going, come on, like giving it all that. And you know, when I'm just so not that, right? I'm not like that at all. And like, it was so not me. And I got up on stage and my first joke just bombed and I did a joke about wanking and someone at the back went, "Were you a bit of a wanker?" Like there was the, and I just hard bombed. It was so horrible.
I know exactly what you mean. I've had a similar thing. The toughest gig I've ever had was, I didn't realize I was about to be called onto stage, and I was at the back of the room, and it was a really long room. And the this is in Edinburgh, actually. And the guy just didn't compare. He just went up there and said, well, to the, like, said your first act, Jake Lambert. And I was like at the back of the room, so I had to run to get there in time. So they thought I was like
running on just,
yeah, yeah. I might as well just kept on going. But they like, run they straight obviously up. Thought, straight through the back door. But they obviously thought I was like a high energy act, sort of going for it. So when I got there, I went, oh, hello, how you doing? They were all like, that's weird. What is this? And the energy was so off because they'd seen me sprint. So it was, and I was like, I like, similar to you, at least we knew what had gone wrong.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's a good thing if you can suss enough to go, I know exactly what went wrong there.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, rather than just sort of, in fact, I have had one where just halfway through, and I know what it was. It was because I think I was just doing it, I just, similar to you probably when you repeated the joke, I just done too many gigs like in a row and I was just calling it in. And I think I clearly just stopped my any energy of even any energy that I have in the last 10 minutes of this, of the 20 minute set. The audience can just tell I was basically just sort of delivering a monologue.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I just sort of couldn't get myself. I knew I was like, I can't get myself out of this. I don't know what to
do.
You
can't get yourself out of that rut. That was a problem for me like a couple of years in, like having, yeah, being in the moment doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and just like the same jokes I'd been doing for so long, trying to keep that energy with them. And just, yeah, it's, it makes a big difference, doesn't it? I think it isn't a thing anymore. I've only just remembered that was a big issue at the time. Yeah. I remember asking people, and someone said, put an elastic band on your wrist and ping it. So it just keeps you in the moment. And I remember like pushing my toes down in my shoes just to kind of bring me into the moment and stuff.
Oh, wow.
But I think that's why it helps doing a new bit. It even helps the other bits kind of, you know, keeps you on your toes a bit.
Because especially because when I started, and like you, I was doing like one-liners. So almost you have to sort of be quite rigid with the one-liner because everything needs to be in the correct order. You can't repeat the same word, anything like that. So what happened was when I stopped doing one-liners and I started doing stories, I remember being at a gig in Bournemouth and I was watching an act on stage and I turned to, I can't remember who the comedian was. He's the guy actually who does all the Plusnet adverts.
Oh, Craig.
Yeah, Craig, yeah. So I turned to him and I said, I said, I've just realised what I've been doing wrong. And I sort of said, and he looked at me like I was mad, thinking, well, obviously, yeah, don't do it like you're reading a monologue. And I just sort of stopped at that point and realised, oh, yeah, I need to sort of make this sound really sort of conversational.
Yeah, exactly.
Then went up and died on my ass.
Then went back to the monologues. And I've been doing monologues ever since.
I'll bring a script up now.
Can I have to carry an auto cue to the gig? Shakespearean monologue.
Yeah, I only really do sonnets now.
My one's quite obvious, my first one. My other two might not be.
It's tough to do, but I've tried to guess them. So if it's really obvious and I've got it wrong, that's bad on me, but we'll see. Right. First guest. Well, there's been a knock at the door. First guest of the evening. It's your live guest. So who's at the door?
Obama.
Not even full name.
No. What's his surname again? Obama. Yeah, that was. I mean, it seems like an obvious one, but
it does actually. Yeah,
I did think about it, and I thought, and a lot. It's hard. The alive one was the hardest, actually.
Oh, people often say fictional. But you reckon alive?
My fictional one was all right, yeah. My dead one was pretty easy.
Right.
Because the alive one was the hardest, actually. And I just thought, I don't know.
But I guess it's such a, you're right, it's obvious, but it's obvious for a good reason in that he's such an interesting man
who
went through so much. And also, if you've been the president, You know so much.
But also with him, it's not like if you invited him for dinner, people would be sitting at dinner going, oh, it's so obvious. Like everyone, it's an obvious in a game like this to say Obama. But if I'm thinking genuinely who I want to be a dinner, it's him, isn't it? You know, that's why it's obvious. In a game, it's an obvious one to choose. But if I'm genuinely thinking who I want to actually come to dinner, not, you know, I know it's hypothetical and you're not going to like start banging emails out, start organizing it like Jim will fix it. But it would be hit because he seems like a nice guy. He's got a sense of humor. He'd have an interesting conversation. He was the president, the most powerful man in the country for a little while. Be interesting, yeah.
Have you read any of his books or anything? Or any
nothing.
So you got loads to ask.
Yeah, exactly. Nothing at all. Yeah, so what's it like? What's the White House like then? Like living there and like sleeping and that, and like things like that. I had to ask him so stupid questions, yeah.
I don't know what he does now. He sort of they produce stuff for Netflix, don't they? And they sort of produce films and documentaries.
Who, Obama does.
Yeah, there's like stuff will come up on Netflix, and it's sort of it's I don't know what the term is they use for it, but it's sort of like presented by them, or they've got a company that's sort of because he used to do a list, didn't he? At the end of the year, here's all the books that I've liked, here's the films that I enjoyed, here's the TV shows I enjoyed, and they've sort of gone into that. Yeah, so I think he's got some sort of deal now where they've got this production company, so they'll make sort of hard-hitting documentaries, I think, rather than, you know, like Mark Wahlberg
films. For me, it gives it a lot of validation that if his name's on it, I'd probably more likely to watch a documentary.
Yeah.
So I can see why they did that.
Yeah, yeah. And she's she does talks, doesn't she? She does, like, proper talks. I'm talking about Michelle, by the way. Yeah, no, his daughter. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. She does like...
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. She did the O2, didn't she, a while ago, I think.
That's mental.
Yeah. But... I mean, people want to hear from her. She's intelligent, charismatic, and she's a very likable person.
Yeah.
I don't
heckle
know.
Heckle her with questions about the White House.
Exactly. Who does your cooking?
If you could ask him one question, what would you go for?
Oh, God, I should have prepared. Who's your other least favourite world leader based on personality?
I mean, who do you reckon it would be? Because who was alongside for us? Gordon Brown, David Cameron?
Yeah, Gordon Brown. Yeah.
Theresa May?
Yeah. I bet it's Gordon Brown. He seems awkward as fuck, doesn't he? Actually, I've got a story about Gordon Brown. I don't know if it's a good story, but I used to work doing sales for a financial company. Like I used to sell to banks and financial institutions and stuff. It's quite a big company in London. And we had to go to this conference once. And I went to the conference and I'm just wandering around on my own, like just looking around. And I didn't really have to do that much. And like just meet a few clients and things. And I had a gig that night. That's totally irrelevant. So I was just started stand up.
Okay, right.
And I walked into this big conference room and sat down and thought, I wonder what this is. And then they shut the doors. So I was in there with all of these people. And it had one of these things, like these hand things that you vote on. And then Gordon Brown fucking walks out and starts to do this speech. And I had to kind of vote on it. I totally walked in the wrong room. It was so funny. I was like, I couldn't get out though. Like they'd shut the doors.
What was he at the time?
I think he was the Chancellor just before he came in.
That is the difference between how Americans treat their politicians and how we do. Because there'll be no way over there you can just wander into a room and just sit there and have a live audience with.
Yeah, I probably had like a thing on or something, but yeah, exactly. Yeah, I could have just assassinated him.
He's got one eye, Gordon Brown.
Has he actually got one eye? Yeah,
middle. He's got a glass eye because he's got a glass eye. A rugby incident, I think. So that's why he does that breathing thing as well. And he breathes in and go. Pff. It's because it's a rugby eye accident. Yeah. Yeah. So that's something
he's
you could
a weird
him.
Prime Minister, wasn't he? I mean, yeah, it's a shame he had the accident. And that might make people think he's more awkward than he is because he's got kind of those afflictions. Is that the right word? Disabilities, I guess. He's obviously a smart guy. I don't know. I didn't follow politics around then at all. So was he kind of well liked? I don't know.
What happens in politics? This is my take on it. Is you always realise the last guy wasn't so bad. Now Trump is the only thing that obviously ends that. But basically, like we've got Boris Johnson. Before we had Theresa May, and you go, well, that maybe she wasn't so bad actually. And before that, we had David Cameron. Maybe we're like, actually, he wasn't that bad compared to that.
So and what you're saying is it's just getting worse and worse and worse.
It's just getting worse.
And I'm going to be Prime Minister soon.
Well, even if you take Obama out, it's going to get that bad. Yeah, but if you take Obama out, like everyone used to joke about how bad George Bush was.
Yeah,
but compare
that
to Trump, absolutely fine.
And George Bush's dad, people complained about him, but he was better than his son.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
So actually, they're never. It's sort
I think
of,
Clinton was quite liked at the time, wasn't he? Bill Clinton.
Yeah, I think so. That was the vibe.
And then
I
the
got.
Lewinsky thing, and it kind of was like, yeah.
Yeah. But also, they're probably having the internet now changes everything, doesn't it? Because I don't think we would really know so much about. Obviously, I'd have known Trump was an idiot. I would have known Bush was an idiot. But like Bill Clinton, you just go, that guy seems like he's got his like stuff together. Everyone seems to like him on the TV shows I watch. Yeah. But now, obviously, it turns out the two of them are like evil and everyone hates her.
I know. There's a lot of like the Benghazi thing. I'd actually watch a lot of American politics. You wouldn't think if you had a conversation with me about it. But I do watch a lot of it, like Congress and, you know, a lot of the debates. And when Hillary went up in front of, I don't even know if it's Congress or Senate. I think it's Congress, isn't it?
When they don't know.
They grilled her about Benghazi and it was interesting.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
It's really fun. I don't know why. I don't understand 50% of it. I still just really enjoy watching these people kind of just battle each other. It's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's such more of a sort of a, I don't know, how, like an event over there.
Yeah.
Like the fact that there's no like maximum budget they can use on their campaigns.
Yeah.
And I feel like we've started to take stuff now because we've got these sort of live debates and that. But the way they have them over there, when it was like Trump and Hillary sort of going at each other, like walking around the room together with these microphones.
That was
like
so much fun.
Like a roast battle. It was insane.
It's so much fun, man. Yeah. And like when you see like the House of Commons like debating each other, and everyone's groaning, going in the background. Oh, it's just weird.
Yeah, just the eyes weird. To the left, the eyes to the right. Well, I think you'll actually find that the right honourable gentleman that's blood in front of me. If you listen, Mr. Speaker, actually, I think
I know
all this stuff
so
they
like,
have to say. Just talk.
They're on another planet to the country, aren't they? I've just said the same person call three times. I've just had to kind of.
Do you know who it is?
Yeah, I know who it is. Yeah, it's the. Mother of my children's my ex. She's okay actually. Yeah, it's just three times in a row. I just wanted to check everything was all right. But she's okay. Yeah.
Just wanted to chat.
Just have an argument about child maintenance. And I forget.
Right. There's another knock at the door. Second guest of the evening.
Yeah.
Oh, go on.
You're going to tell me what category. Interrupting, sorry.
Second guest of the evening, dead guest. Who's at the door?
I mean, I said earlier this one was easy. It wasn't easy. I've just watched a lot of his stuff recently and I've read all of his books and I just really liked. And I didn't agree with everything he said, but I just really liked his style and his debating and his writing. And he's a big enemy of Bill Clinton, weirdly. Like, he hates Bill Clinton. Can you guess who it is? No. He was an atheist. Are you having... This ain't the game, is it? You guessing?
No,
I just thought it'd be fun, man. No.
Listen to an episode, I thought, I know what's missing here.
Christopher Hitchens.
Should I know that? Well, I know that name, but I don't think I know who that is.
His brother's Peter Hitchens, the Daily Mail writer, but they didn't like each other. I just got into his stuff in about 2010. I just started watching. He wrote a book, God Is Not Great. And he went round America debating the head of all religions. He went to all religious heads like Jew, Muslim, Christians. And I saw him on Question Time the first time, and he just was so good. I just really liked him, yeah.
So
not that I agree with everything he says, but
so
I
what,
just,
what's his I just, what's his stance then?
He's a journalist. He was a journalist. He started at
right.
He wrote for Vanity Fair and a lot of other things. But he was just really witty and funny and smart and interesting and charismatic and a bit of a rebel and a contrarian and
right.
super articulate and posh. And I don't know. I just really liked him. And he's got a big fan base, so I'm not like on my own with it. I even watch his debates in lockdown. I just really like them. Yeah. Like there's compilations of him like, in arguments, it's fun to watch. And as I said, I don't agree with everything he says. Yeah, like
so
it's
he's
not
just.
Totally...
I'm assuming it's basically his political stance is he just wants them to be saying the truth and wants to call people out on lies.
Yeah, and he was an alcoholic, but he's just a really interesting guy.
When did he die?
He died, I think, 2011.
Oh right.
Yeah.
Just as you're getting into him?
Yeah, just as I was getting into him, weirdly. I was actually sad when he died. Like, I normally get into one thing and just go at that, you know, like, and just read everything and watch everything and just immerse myself in one thing. And then, like, he was the group of, like, you know, Richard Dawkins, the atheist?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So he's that little group of like the Four Horsemen or something. He never liked that title, and Sam Harris is the other one and some other guy that Richard Dennett or something. But I just enjoy their discussions. They're just.
Because they're so smart, so switched on.
Yeah, they're so smart.
Mm.
It's just, I just like it just washing my brain.
And he didn't like Clinton.
No, I think they might have. Had start uni together, or they were together as young in some capacity. He was an English guy, Christopher Hitchens, but he emigrated to America. Is it emigrated or immigrated? Emigrated, isn't it?
Emigrated, I think. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's why I like watching smart people.
Oh, right. It's interesting, isn't it, when you think about that, the fact that these people all sort of went to school and colleges together.
Yeah, like they're the elite. Like, I mean, not that I like that either. It's not like I'm going, they're the elite. I'm thinking, like, they get told, like, people, like, you know, we obviously know people in public school. In stand-up and stuff, there's some real, like, top privileged public school people, isn't there? And, like, you talk to them, they get told they're like the cream of society at a young age. And no wonder they got that like innate confidence and entitlement. And it's interesting that, and then I'm like, and they're running a whole country.
Think, what do their families think when they've put all that money into their education? And then they just sort
and
then
of they're fucking at the open drunk on stage in Edinburgh at 1 a.m. with their parents funding a 20 grand Edinburgh run.
But it's mad. I've only really realised recently. I mean, I hate the idea of private schools, but I also what confuses me, why are they sometimes called private schools and sometimes called public schools? But they're the same thing.
I know, public school's kind of a contradiction, isn't it? Like,
yeah.
Because it's not public, it's private, but sometimes they're called public. It's confusing, isn't it? When in America, I think public school would be a state school, wouldn't it?
Right, okay, which would just be regular one.
If someone says to me, what school type of school... I mean, they don't ask me that because they can tell. Like, I've never, ever been asked that. But if someone did, like, I'd say you're stupid. But like, I've said state school before... about English ones. Well, we don't have states here.
Like, just it's just in a state.
Yeah, yeah. It's just in a right fucking state. Like my teachers, like I kind of wish I was it, that was instilled in me growing up, because I grew up a bit delinquent and I got expelled and I kind of didn't even get a GCSE and I went to a naughty boys school for my fifth year and stuff like that. So I kind of I don't know why I'm drawn to like watching people who got the absolute cream of world education, like the best in the world, isn't it? Like Oxbridge and Yale and all of these unis and stuff. And like, I don't know, maybe I live for it a bit vicariously and just like learn words like vicariously from them. And it's nice, you know.
But I know what you mean, because have you seen that new Netflix documentary about the sort of the bribing to get people into Harvard and Yale and Brown and these big universities in America?
No.
And it's the guy who got caught out doing it. So they had the backdoor thing where you can make a big donation and get your children in, but it's not guaranteed. So he created this thing called the side door, where it was like, it's a donation people would make of like hundreds of thousands of dollars. But also he was like photoshopping their children's pictures to make it look like they were playing, like they were like on the rowing team or something, or playing like water polo.
Oh,
so
wow.
They would get them a vacancy in the sports team, but the coaches knew this person will never show up, that this is how they're getting in, and there's
like
donations
a scholarship
coming in.
Kind of thing.
Yeah, like fake scholarships. And then it all came crumbling down about 2 years ago. So there's a new documentary's gone to Netflix about it. But the thing is, I was watching it and there's videos where it shows these children who are like 17, 18, finding out whether they've gotten into university or not. And there's a craze now where they film themselves. But these children are getting in and they're going mad when they get in, everyone's celebrating. And then obviously it shows the ones who don't get in. And I was thinking that it doesn't really matter. If you've got into university, you should just go to university because you're going to get the same education. But the thing is, obviously there is this other world where because you went to Harvard, a guy who also went to Harvard might hire you because of this. However, like the fact is now, because of social media, when these children get into these schools, they get sent these packages of T-shirts and hoodies and everything. So they're all on Instagram, like saying they got in. And so it's now become like a trendy thing. The thing is, over here, education, unless you're in those sort of schools, it's not really driven into us to sort of aim for the highest ones. Because like you and me, for example, I just went to like just a regular school. There was no way anybody there was saying to me, work hard, you could go to Oxford.
I know. My friend, actually. And,
uni, not it, just go. Jump on the M40.
Exactly. He wasn't in he wasn't in my school, but he's a mate from the area. He was super gifted, bright, like maths-wise. He just had a very good brain. And, you know, one of those brains that's just gifted, that just breezes through everything.
Yeah.
And he got a scholarship based on that to either Oxford or Cambridge to do, like, maths. And so it does happen, but he didn't even go to my school. So it's very rare, isn't it?
He must have
been flagged up by teachers. Like he must have been, you know, a beautiful mind kind of level or whatever. You know what I mean?
There was a boy at my school who went for an interview at Oxford and he didn't get it. Everyone in the school knew he was going to have this attempt to get into Oxford.
Wow.
So it's that rare that happens that you know, one person was going to try and go there. But there was nothing from like year 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 where they're like, you could go. If you work hard, you could go here. You should try and go here because you get a loan anyway. It doesn't cost you anything, all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And most of the time, Eton would probably be the opposite to that, wouldn't it? Like someone goes to like a polytechnic. They're like, everyone's fucking whispering in school about it.
Well, that's the thing. Because Eton as well, because I went to school in Datchet. So Eton was literally like a stone's throw away. We'd throw them.
And you tested it.
So like, it was just this, it was like having Hogwarts around the corner.
Yeah, yeah.
Being like,
yeah.
What's going on there? What is it? And then you'd go to Windsor and you'd see these people with the sort of the tailcoat things and the top hats knocking about. And it basically was like visiting Hogwarts. But the magic is just money.
But they get a hard time in these public schools. I spoke to people about it's brutal emotionally on them.
Right,
like they get sent in at like 6 years old, at like boarding school. I spoke to somebody and they were like, he's a comic. And And he was like, and then they get all taken in the hall with their parents. And then they say, right, we're going to show you around the school, kids, and your parents are going to wait here. They show the kids around the school, 6 years old. They come back to the hall. Their parents are gone. Like, it's like this trick, just trying to make it so there's no tears and stuff. And then they go into the dormitories and there's all these rules, like they get bullied, and it's brutal, man.
So like private schools then, if that's the way you live, if you lived sort of in boarding schools, when us lot talk about sleepovers and how much we love sleepovers, they must think we're insane.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, like exactly. I used to love sleepovers with my mates. I'd be begging my mum, please let my mate stay.
Oh, I used to love it. When we would all sleep downstairs, and I had, we'd obviously always watch horror films, but my parents had a downstairs toilet that was based like the Bates Motel from Psycho. Yeah. So it had like no vacancy sign. And then it had a shower curtain that had like the like shape of somebody to stab in you. It had a big knife hanging on the back of the door. So we would all watch these films. We were like 11, 12. And then we'd like in the night need to go for a wee and all be too scared to go to the toilet. Surprised no one wet themselves. Actually, I think one friend might
what
have,
horror
but I won't
films
name
did
them.
You watch? Like Friday the 13th, stuff like that.
Now, stuff like the like Blair Witch Project, because that would have been like 98,
I think that came out. That was actually scary as fuck.
Do you know what? I think the people who find that one the scariest, because I find that really scary, it's if you've got an overactive imagination, because they let you do the work. So some people might just watch it and just see these hands appearing and see these stuff. But actually, I'm picturing the worst thing I could imagine in my mind.
Which
is really scary. So that film affected me so much.
We went to the woods after we saw it, like that evening, at Oxley's Woods, which is not far from here, a few couple of miles, and we went to the woods, me, my mate Dean, and two girls, and I was genuinely fucking scared. And like, and so we heard a thing in the woods, because there was a guy in the woods with a torch, right? And he turned the torch off.
That's terrifying.
It was creepy what he was doing. And I fucking ran, tripped. Everybody fell down these stairs. We all fell down the stairs together. And we just looked up and this big torch came on us at the top of the stairs. And we all just was like, and then we just turned, and then the torch went off and no one was there. Like, he went, obviously.
What?
It was some weirdo in the woods.
That was like something from Goosebumps.
Yeah, like, it was weird. And we heard about things happening in those woods, whether they were rumours or not, I don't know. But, like, I was genuinely scared for a little while.
Yeah, I bet. And stuff like that, the Ring got me.
Oh, man. What, the original?
Yeah. That video, the tape, when you watch the tape, it's so creepy.
It's Japanese, is it? Yeah.
Yeah.
I watched that late at night. And you know when they do the intro? I don't know if it was Mark Kermode or someone, because it was years ago, something like that, where he introduces the film. And he talked about it, and then it started, and I watched it on my own, and I was like, fuck. And I never watch scary films on my own. Like, I'm an absolute flake when it comes to that. On my own.
Oh my
if I'm
God,
with someone,
yeah.
then I'm all right. But, like, on my own, forget about it.
Yeah, I get so scared. Even now, I get so scared.
Same here.
Of the dark anyway.
I know, I am. But, yeah, when I'm with, like, my children watching a scary... because Ren's only 7 and she watched It, the newer one.
Oh, right, yeah.
And I didn't know she'd watched it. Like, I don't know how she watched it, but she did. And she was so scared. Like, I couldn't even say Pennywise. She would, like, and I'd play around with her and she, like, but it was quite serious and I wouldn't obviously say it.
Yeah.
And then she watched it again and again. Now she just watches it, like,
just like
for
it's
fun.
A happy clown film.
Yeah, and like now I can play. Like I've sat and watched it with her, and when I'm with my kids, I feel I don't get scared. Like I feel like I'm in protector mode. You know what I mean? And I ain't got no time. I have to like me and Ren actually got lost in those woods. It was in the day, but it was still a little bit. There was a little bit of panic for a couple of minutes because we were running into the woods. I thought I was running one way, but we were running deeper into the woods. She was on my shoulders. God. I know, something like that. Or she was running next to me and we're running for like a couple of minutes. Then in the end, I just didn't know which way was which way. And the phone reception's bad there. So I couldn't like the, I don't know, but I ended up seeing the motorway and just walking towards that. And I think she felt me like a little bit panicky and she started to get upset. So I was just trying to go like, oh, it's cool. I know, don't worry. I know it's because I had to, I think I was panicking because I had to show her my confidence, but I didn't have much in the, that I was going the right way. And so I just saw a motorway and I just walked towards that and I had to climb over a fence and lift her over. We had to like walk through this muddy bit and I climbed her over and just walked. Once I got onto the pavement, it was like euphoric. And we just walked up and I got, and I didn't let her know I was completely lost for a minute, but it was panic. Even like for 20 seconds, I was like,
that's interesting to know that your sort of parental thing will kick in and go, you can't get scared. You can't show that you're scared.
I think you go into a different zone with them. Yeah. Like if there was a noise downstairs, I mean, I don't live there anymore, but if there was a noise downstairs, like I'd go down there. And, you know, where if I was on my own, I wouldn't go down there.
Yeah.
I'd use my quilt as protection and just pray to God, if there is a God, hard. You know what I mean?
I remember my sister, Claire, showing me and the my friends down my street. We lived down like a cul-de-sac sort of thing. And it was maybe about six of us that were about the age of like six or seven, and she showed us the original It film. And then all my friends were suddenly all scared. It was during the summer holidays. We were all scared to go to the toilet at night. And I remember like my friend Jonathan saying how like he would like get up in the night, but he was too scared to go. And obviously we all were. My friend Luke, he was, I think one of them wet themselves. I don't think it was, I probably shouldn't keep that angle. I think they listen. But I remember we were all so scared.
You're not naming them. You're not naming John. No, you're not. You're right to say that. I'm sure he's.
Yeah, and also they were seven.
Yeah, I wet the bed at that age, and I do feel shame about it. I'm like I'm grassing myself up because I want to get over it.
I did it a lot older than that, after my sister's wedding. But anyway, we were all. What's that?
Drunk, yeah, was that drunk or scared?
Scared. I'm terrified of commitment.
I got exposed to these films too early, and I know the irony is like Ren watches It, but I feel like in a way, like where she got over it and she watches it sometimes now, she's not scared of it anymore. So I see like there's a positive to that as well. Like she was petrified. She forced herself to get over her fear. Yeah. It's a really empowering thing that she did. That's the way I'm seeing it. And I mean, the other way to see it is I'm a terrible parent. So I'm choosing to see it.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's been another knock at the door. It's the fictional guest, third guest of the evening.
I chose for my fictional character, Rizzo.
From Greece?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
Amazing.
Because I just find her like, I mean, Zuko is incredible in that film. He's so funny without, like, the way I'm cracking up watching him. Like, the way he walks and, like, it's so funny. And the fact
that he is actually, isn't he? That's such a funny performance.
He's like, yeah, like, the way he talks and the way, it's got so many layers, like, I don't know, the way he's really, he loves Sandy. And then he, like, and then he's, like, really cool in front of his mates. And it's just so funny. But Rizzo, I think, is the most kind of interesting character in a way. Like, she, if you watch it again, she's like the star of it for me a little bit.
Right. Is she the one that's about 45 in the film?
Yeah. They all are, aren't they? Some of those T-birds are about 62, mate, isn't it? Like, they had a close-up of the little chubbier one, just a close-up. He's on his way to school, and he's got this old face.
It was almost like the opposite of what's the one where they used children as adults?
Bugsy Malone.
Bugsy Malone, yeah. It's like the opposite of that. They've got OAPs in to play these high school kids.
That's so true.
But people talk about that film now being dated or it should be... It obviously got a bad message in it. It's a musical film about high school. I don't think we're supposed to take it that seriously.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I don't... So I'm not taking Rizzo? Life lessons. I'm not taking life lessons from it. Rizzo, I just think she was witty. She was funny. She had a bit of, I just interested to know her past. Like, where did she come from? She was cool. She was actually nice underneath it. She was troubled. Mm. I think she was a really good actress. The actor, you can't say actress anymore, can you? The actor.
Yeah. What do they do in the Oscars when it's a nomination for best? They do best actress and best supporting actress, or do they do best supporting actor in a female role?
Maybe I'm going over PC. Maybe they, if they still say actress, I can say it, can't I?
But what's interesting about her character is she's like not classically good looking at all in any way, but she's sort of got this confidence where you're right. She's like the main character. She's like the leader of the girls.
Yeah, and she's kind of like the mother hen, like the madame. Not really, but like, yeah, the like, yeah, but she's quite, yeah, I just really found her layered as a character and interesting.
And do you watch that film now with, what's your child's name, sorry? Raya?
Ren. W-R-E-N, like the bird. It was on telly the other day, wasn't it? And I watched it. And I've always known it's, you know, a classic film or whatever, like we watched it a lot as kids and things, but when I watched it again, it was just so fun to watch. I mean, the dancing's incredible in that prom. I mean, I need to learn some of their moves, and the songs are amazing. Like, it's such a good film.
The song for the opening credits, Greece is the Word.
That's a wicked film. That's a wicked song, man.
Yeah, that's such a good choice.
I go to heal that's it, innit? I think I've got the lyrics right. It's a tune though, isn't it? I might put that on in a minute.
But that's such a good shout.
She'd done something recently that she was very good in. I didn't watch it, but it wasn't the West Wing, was it?
Stockard Channing is her name.
Oh, that's her name, yeah.
Oh, she was in The Good Wife?
That was it. And she got, I think she won awards for that.
Oh, and she was in The West Wing as well.
Oh, okay. Good call by me.
Yeah, well done.
I've never seen it either.
Blimey, she was born in 1944.
Bloody hell. So how old, that film was 75,
wasn't it? 78, I think.
Ah.
So she was 34. Is that right? That's mental.
That was quick maths.
That is mad. Getting cast as like a 16-year-old girl.
It is weird back then. I mean,
she must have had her own children.
Sandy was 28 and Zuko was 23, I think.
I've never heard anyone just refer to him as Zuko.
Well, you know what I mean? I'm very familiar with him.
I can't believe that.
And Kinnicky died of drugs a few years ago, didn't he?
Oh, yeah, 2011, 10 years ago.
Ah.
Yeah, blimey. Right. What we have to do now, quick fire round, just to give a gauge of what a dinner party would be like with you hosting. Beer or wine?
I don't drink either. But they could have yeah. wine.
Nice. Whiskey or gin?
They could have whiskey.
Do you drink?
No.
Oh, you just smoke?
No. I don't do anything.
You just come across like you do.
Yeah. I used to, I don't anymore. Been a few years.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So they'd have wine and whiskey.
Yeah.
What would you have at a dinner party then? What would you drink? Glass of milk?
No, I don't drink milk either.
Oh, yeah, vegan.
I'd probably have like a nice fizzy elderflower just to fit in. I don't drink that normally.
But, just to fit in. When's that ever made anyone fit in?
Oh, yeah. But it looks a bit champagne-y, doesn't it? I'd have it in champagne.
Oh, yeah, fair. Okay, we know the answer to this next one anyway, but meat or vegan?
Vegan.
Yeah. Starter or dessert?
I don't mind a dessert every now and then. I sound so boring now. I'd have a dessert.
Yeah. Nice. Okay. For entertainment, music or games?
Games, actually. Games includes everyone. Music, I don't know, we could all bop around and do some T-bird dancing and stuff. That'd be cool. Music.
You got Rizzo there. Should do, really.
Definitely music. Get Hitch up, chance. Get Obama up, get Rizzo.
And then this is a tough one, actually, before you've got there. Culture or politics?
I think culture, actually, because politics can go into boring territories, can't it?
Well, my only thought was, you've got Obama, Hitchens, and someone who's a character in The West Wing.
Yeah, oh yeah. That's why they've done enough on politics. I'd like to hear speak to Obama about other stuff, you know?
Yeah, like these documentaries he's got coming out and that.
Yeah, and
good
yeah,
shout.
Exactly.
And then last one, signature dish. I can never say it. Signature dish.
Signature dish. Oh, God. I'm trying to think of a good vegan one that's not going to make me sound really boring. Chickpea curry.
Oh, like that. That's nice. What flavour are we going for? What sauce?
I don't know. I don't know.
I'll tell you what. I really need a wee. So while I go for a wee, you can think about it. Can I just go for a wee?
Yeah, sure. Thanks. No worries. Am I holding the fort? Is this going out, this part?
No, we can do if you want.
Yeah, let's do it. I don't know, guys, man. I've got no idea what different curries. So tikka masala, korma. I wish she hadn't asked to elaborate on that part. I don't know why I find it so important to get the answer right either. I just go for a tikka masala, a chickpea curry with a tikka masala sauce. Done. He's having a long week, isn't he? How are you lot been anyway? That's the, it's always about us, isn't it? How are you lot been? Don't know why I'm talking. He's definitely going to cut this out. I should just be talking directly to you, Jake. But yeah, I might shut up.
Hello. Sorry. Hello. Right. Here's a bit, Julian, where I now read out who I predicted you would choose.
Okay.
Right. I'll be honest. Way off the mark with every single one of them. For Alive, I went with Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Oh, my God. I loved his films.
Yeah, well, I remember during lockdown, the first lockdown. Remember everyone was doing that sort of tweet thing where they were, like, listing their favourite films? Like, list four brilliant films, and you listed one of his.
Did I?
Yeah.
I mean, Bloodsport when it came out was great. Like, yeah.
On your inform, is it Kickboxer? The Kickboxer.
Yeah, that was. I mean, his films were excellent at the time. But yeah, he did that great advert, didn't he, on top of the trucks?
I don't know. Did he? What one was that?
Oh, you've not seen that. It's about the precision of these. I think I don't know what brand trucks it is. But they're driving along, and it's got that beautiful song. He wants money, money, money. You know, am I nailing the tune now? But and he's standing on top of the trucks, and it's showing how precision they drive, and they part like that. They're driving along the road, and he's got one foot on one on the other, and he does the box splits. It's a great advert. Google it afterwards. Have a look. Watch yeah. it.
I always have something to look up after this, and that's what I'm going for. Jean-Claude advert. Lovely. Dead. Yeah. Bruce Lee.
Ah, that's a good call. I mean, I'm going to be really controversial, and I love Bruce Lee, and like, you know, he's in his interviews, he's so wise, and he's so on it, and he's so like beyond his time. But I don't know. And a lot of the MMA fighters do rate him and have a poster on the wall. And growing up, they looked at him and they... there's a fighter called Bruce Leroy, like named after... like. But I don't
Amazing.
Know. I'm not completely sold on that it was actually true that he was a fighter. There's some footage of him. Like, there's always grainy footage that you can't really see what's going on. And he's got a head guard on. Is it really him? There's not one footage of any of his fights. And they did have cameras around at that time. He was definitely an incredible athlete.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I don't believe it. I'm saying there's no proof, is there? And I'd like to see some. I want to believe it. So,
is that a conspiracy that's knocking about then?
No, actually. I just kind of...
started it.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm sure I'm not alone, but I just want to see some of his fights if he was that good.
And then fictional, I went with Axel Foley.
I was going to choose Axel Foley.
No way.
Yeah. I was going to choose Axel Foley. He's one of my all-time, it's a bit nostalgic, but he's one of my all-time favorite fictional characters. I got the film for Christmas one year, and I just watched it and watched it and watched it. And I pause scenes. I watched scenes again and again and again. I just loved him so much.
Are you a big fan of Eddie Murphy?
Yeah, massive.
And his stand-up?
I mean, it's obviously dated, but like his performances, like when he come out of Johnny Carson, his first ever TV thing, it's just
the
so
confidence.
Good. I know. And he's just like, the material's pretty good, but he's just him.
He sells
it.
It's
yeah,
him.
It's so good. I've watched that a few times recently, and he's so good. So I'm a massive fan of his. Obviously, you know, there's some dated stuff in Delirious and Raw and things, but I think performance wise, I think he's one of the best ever.
Yeah.
He's probably
yeah.
the best ever.
And I didn't realize that he was supposed to be on tour last year.
Wow.
Yeah, because everyone was talking, will he come back, will he not? But then I can't remember what I saw an interview with him recently, and he was saying, yeah, it was booked in. I was supposed to be on tour.
So I know he was talking about a new special, so maybe he's working up to that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be hard to, I don't know, we'll see. I hope it's great.
Yeah,
If it's not, it's not going to take anything away from him.
How good,
right?
Yeah.
For me anyway, yeah.
Right. This, Julian, is the toughest part of the podcast. It's when we pick one of your guests to go through to the ultimate dinner party, which you're invited to as well. You'll be there. So we have to pick between Obama, Christopher Hitchens, or Rizzo.
It would have to be Hitchens, to be honest. And I know that seems mad because Obama's there, but I don't know. I've read more from Hitchens than Obama, just more familiar with him, I guess. And I know he used to host big parties at his place, like big, and they were like renowned dinner parties at his place. And I just think he would be excellent at it. Like he'd be an excellent, guest.
Yeah, because that's what I was about to ask. I was going to say, from what you know of him, what would he be like at a dinner party? Which is obviously a something some people have said they've gone to choose a person and said, but actually, I think they'd probably be a bit quiet.
He'd be one of the best dinner party guests in the world.
Perfect. Right. And I imagine the sort of person, from what you've said of him, anecdote after anecdote.
He got up at the Comedy Cellar once with a little hip flask. No. He was so good. He was so funny and witty and quick.
How did you hear about that?
I saw it on YouTube.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
He kind of told these longish jokes, like standard traditional joke style.
Yeah.
He was good. It was just impressive that he was like just trying to get involved in everything, and he was good.
Christopher Hitchens is in. Classic thing on the end of any podcast. Where can people find you?
I do a podcast called TVI. It's We Are TVI. I think
TVI, so Two Vegan Idiots.
Yeah, so it's TVI's abbreviated Two Vegan Idiots. We don't talk about vegan stuff. And Instagram, Julian Dean Official.
Yeah.
Blackheath Village, London, SE3. 07446. No.
Right, mate. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
So that was Julian. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you agreed with the choices. As always, feel free to get in touch at guestlistwithjake@gmail.com. And as always, I will be back again next week with another episode. Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.